The infrastructure growth is the series, and we're in part three today. Let me bring people up to speed. I don't need to do long overviews, so let's just make this one quick, all right? First Sunday, we talked about type of people you need, right? Need certain type of folk in your infrastructure. You need folk that have something to offer, something to gather, something to make them the strong places within the body of Christ. Last week, we talked about enhancements to the atmosphere. I don't care where you go, things prove themselves to be an enhancement. And as I approach this message this morning, I feel it's necessary to differentiate between enhancements and gifts. Because I'm dealing with gifts this morning. Gifts and enhancements are not the same thing. So, if this sanctuary had no windows, had no fans, had no doors, maybe except one, and a few lights, we would probably say that the space was pretty basic, right? And for those of you that have never been in here with me, let me warm you up by saying, well, welcome, number one. And number two, you can talk back to me. It's okay. You don't have to be silent. You're good. If this was without all this, it would be a basic place, right? Everything in here is an enhancement to the atmosphere. Lights are an enhancement. Windows are an enhancement. Screens are an enhancement. Audio and sound, these are enhancements. Gifts are not enhancements. Gifts are things that each one of us possesses that are different across the board. Now, let me say this again, so I don't have to sound like I'm repeating myself a million times. Everybody that is saved by grace, knows the Lord and all that kind of stuff, all of y'all got gifts. And since y'all didn't respond properly, I'll repeat myself one more time. Everybody. Saved, love the Lord, all that stuff, everybody got gifts. You may not see yourself as an enhancement, but you got a gift. You have something to offer. You have something that makes the church of the living God go. The problem in the life of the church currently is this. All these gifted people don't always feel as if they have something to offer. And part of it is because of the misconception about gifting and about skill set and all that kind of stuff. Everybody's got a gift. And here it is. Paul talks about it all comes from the same source. That's right. Which means that no matter what your gift, it comes from the exact same place, and that's God himself. So whether you can preach or not doesn't make a difference. The gift of preaching that I have and your gift, whatever it may be, comes from the exact same place. Amen. Let me just read a little bit. Because sometimes, you know, you can say a bunch of things, but sometimes the word has to speak for you. Starting at verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Listen, everybody got something? Come from the same place. Now watch this, because I don't think this is quote unquote an issue, but just in case it's something that is underlying, let me go ahead and say this. It says, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Method. That word method. See, a lot of people place more gospel to methods than anything else. And here's the crazy thing. Paul is telling us every method that can be effective still comes from the same place. Which means that you and I don't have to do things the same way to get the job done. Which means that a lot of things that occur as culture within churches make methods out to be gospel when they're not gospel at all. They are just what? Ways and strategies to reach different people. You ain't got to get rid of hymns to reach young people. You just might need to repackage understanding. Amen. Y'all hear? Yes. I want to make sure y'all hear. You ain't got to shout. I just want to make sure y'all hear. And young people ain't got to reject everything from the past, per se, because there's some things that still are useful. Yes. But guess what, y'all? All methods are what? Useful, because they come from where? The same place. There are varieties of activities. So how you exemplify the mission, how you get it done. Some people will never be up in this pulpit, not because they don't know how to talk, but that it's just not their thing. But first, you ought to thank God. But secondly, some of y'all caught it. But secondly, because what you possess is effective for certain areas. So if you know how to create fellowships, guess what? You hear what I'm saying? If you can deal with children, and I'm not talking about just put up with them. I'm talking about actually doing things that enhance their lives. You see what I mean? Everybody's activity ain't the same, but it still comes from what? Same source. All right. So we all on the same page, right? Everything, methods, gifts, and activity comes from God. Yes. And is executed through God's people. Amen. Now listen to what Paul says again. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to others working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he will. Everybody ain't got the same thing, but comes from same place. And all of them are necessary to advance the body. Which means that you and I can't go around and demonize what we don't understand. Amen. Let me take it one more step and say it a different way. Stuff you don't understand or don't like, you can't reject because it's necessary. The problem in the global church is that we're trying to fashion it after our likeness. And we're missing and rejecting things we need to be as effective as possible. Gifts are important. Now, I'm not going to take the time and list down every single gift that the Bible offers up. But I want to give you four areas today. Is that cool? I just want to give you four areas that the Spirit unveils to us as gifts that are important. First, information and understanding. Y'all looking at yourselves like information and understanding. Okay. You need to know something and understand it. Y'all watch enough TV to know that some people have one or the other and don't realize you need both. There's a whole lot of people that gather information and don't know if it's true or false and can't differentiate through it. And they don't seek understanding to be able to what? Work through what's gathered. And then there are people that always are analytical, try to gain understanding of a thing without really taking time with the information. Let's go here, shall we? We got a whole blow up going on in this community. Got a whole blow up going on about a development that is not even going to have ground broken on it until they are able to get everything in the world passed to be able to do something. And folk are mad. They are angry because they gather pieces here and pieces here. And they're mad about the project. But can I tell you something? And I don't care if folk are mad about it or not. The issue isn't the project that hasn't come yet. The issue is that there's a whole lot of people that have not envisioned what the community could be. Therefore, they have never gathered information and understood trends to see what the community could be. And they get mad about how somebody else looks at it and they had the opportunity to be able to craft what it looks like. That's the problem. The information is, I want this, but I don't know how to get it. I think this will work, but I don't know how to get the information to make it happen. But church, there are people that have both that nobody's ever tapped into. Where all of this would be a moot point if we would sit back and just think about, what is it that we could be? Now, that's the community. Let me come back to the church since y'all sitting stiff. You need people in the life of the church that know how to gather from heaven and understand what God is saying. Because you can't go around and just make an assumption about a thing and God never said it. Or understand a thing according to what somebody told you, and you don't know if they know what they're talking about. It doesn't just work in the community, it works in the church. You need to have the gift or the ability to be able to see it and understand it. Can I take you back a little further? When Habakkuk did all this complaining and praying and said, I'm going to wait until you show me what this is all about, God. And then God came back and what did he say? Write the vision. Make it plain so that people can run who see it. In other words, God was saying, I need you now to not only hear me, but understand me so that you can give this to somebody and make it so clear that there is no doubt that I'm involved with it. Because where there is no vision, people perish. Okay, y'all wait, something else, that's Bible. You need people to have the ability to have what? Information and understanding. You need both. Because if you don't have it, you're going to suffer. Let me move on. You also need signs and wonders up in here. Signs and wonders. An overly spiritual way of saying you need to be able to witness miracles. And see the execution of said miracles as well. Listen, y'all. Miracles don't just happen when you go to the hospital and you get up off your sick bed. I still believe that you can walk up into the church and get around some people that believe that God can do the miraculous, and all you got to do is pray, and in the middle of the atmosphere, somebody can be healed. But look, we go to churches now and we pray it, but we don't always believe it. But can I tell you that at least up in here, there's at least a few people that are walking miracles that know that when God showed up, there's some people that know that when somebody prayed for them, had them on their mind, and didn't wait for them to pray for themselves, interceded on their behalf, they got up out of comas, they got up off of their sick bed, they got up out of illness and out of sickness, and all kinds of things came out of their body. Yes, it may be 2020, but I still believe that the same God that healed the woman with the issue of blood is the same God that can do anything and everything for me too. You gotta have some people that got some faith, that know that when they lay hands on you, that God's going to move. I don't need everybody to pray with me. I just need a couple people to believe. The Bible says two or three. That's all I need. You can doubt all you want to, but let me just get one or two other people to hook up with me and watch what God will do. I don't know about anybody else, but we should be tired by now of continuing to go to church, sit in pews, and have no expectation that God can do a thing. And let me go all the way here. Some of y'all that are the evidence of a miracle, y'all should be the first ones laying hands on somebody. And I'll tell you why. Because you received what you probably shouldn't have received. Everything about medical evidence said you shouldn't be here. Everything you went through said you should be dead and gone. Everything about where you came from and the neighborhood you grew up in said that you shouldn't be here today. Everything about decisions you used to make and stuff you used to do says that you shouldn't be here right now. But the very fact that you're staring at me with a blank look on your face, knowing I'm talking to you, ought to be a sign that you're the one. You ought to be telling somebody about how good God is. You ought to be the one telling somebody how he healed your body. You ought to be the one to tell somebody that when it was all messed up, he showed up. Waiting around here for somebody else to manifest what God has already done in your life. I should be able to walk up in here on a random Sunday, running late to church, and somebody catch me at the door and tell me that somebody that wasn't able to walk is walking. Oh, y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? I don't think my grandfather and my mom remember this, but I can tell it. I told it already. When I pastored in my first church, we had this thing called Glory Night. And the first time we had it, a whole bunch of people showed up. All we did was praise and worship. Did about 15-minute sermon. We prayed a whole lot. The atmosphere was so thick. The prayer was going. Somebody came to the altar that I actually know personally. They came to the altar. They were on their cane. They were on their cane, and they were barely feeling okay to even come to the house of God. They came on that cane, came to the altar while we were praying. Nobody laid one hand on her. Nobody laid hands and began to pray over her. The atmosphere was just an attitude of prayer. We were praying over everything in that atmosphere. And once the prayer ended, she pulled on me. She pulled on my shirt. I looked down. I knew who it was. She said, "I got a testimony." I said, "Okay." And she told me first. And I said, "Wait a minute. Did this really happen?" And then she said, tell it, whatever you got, just tell it. And I said, "Well, you wait right here." And I got on the mic and I said, "Well, this sister came in here and she was bent over. She couldn't walk upright. She could only walk with a cane and she was bent over. And all of a sudden, she didn't need the cane. And her spine got straight. And her gait was normal." And I said, "Do you know what just happened? Not one soul laid a hand on her. Not one soul tarried over her. And God showed up and straight. God can do it. And there's some folk in here that believe it. I want you to get so radical from time to time that even when people are coming to the altar and you don't know what's happening, start praying differently. Don't just pray that it'll happen. Pray that it'll happen in an instant. Pray that God will show up and show somebody that even though they may not have believed before that God can move, let that person be the evidence that God can move at any given time. Y'all don't want to see something happen." Next thing is prophetic speech. Prophetic speech is a word that is supposed to compel you to move. Don't come to church to sit. Let me qualify what I'm saying. Don't come just to sit. Come gather so that you can move. Half of the stuff you've been asking God for is not predicated on God showing up. It's really predicated on you moving. You waiting for other folk to do a thing and you waiting for God to drop it in your lap and you haven't even positioned yourself for it. But can I tell you that when we preach, when we teach, when we do what we do in this space, every now and then God will drop a prophetic word in the atmosphere that is supposed to compel you not to just sit there and feel good. It is supposed to compel you to go out and do something. Ain't nobody bringing in folk that God has assigned you. Okay. You praying about your faith. I pray that they'll come back to church. Time out. You to church. They've been coming to church. They've been coming to you. You ain't did what God told you to do. You trying to dog them half to death about stuff that they doing. And God told you. Stop dogging them and pray for them. And you still ain't done it. How do I know? Some of y'all complain to me about just pray for them. No, I pray for them. But God assigned you to pray for some folk that you know that when they move, because God will move in their life. you wouldn't even begin to believe it. Prophetic speech is about making certain that the people of God do not grow complacent. It is the word is about making sure you don't just come to church out of routine. It's about making sure that you don't show up on Sunday morning just to be entertained. It's about making certain that something on the inside of your heart is beating in your chest and is causing you to say, I can't be still. I can't be silent. I got to do something. Move on. Last thing you need is some linguistic interpretation. Nothing but a bunch of $2 words to say you need somebody to be able to decipher what's being said. There's a debate about speaking in tongues. And I don't know why there's a debate, because people don't read well enough. And some of y'all think I'm about to say one thing. Just stay with me. The explanation has been so rigid that people miss the totality of it. Okay? Remember when Peter started preaching and the disciples started talking at Pentecost, and you had people from around the area that spoke in different languages, and they began hearing all this stuff. One group said they must be drunk, but then there's another group that said, and it's in the second chapter of Acts, where they said, I hear the words and the thoughts of God in my own language. In other words, the word tongue in original language really means dialect, which means that if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, it's an unknown dialect. And Paul talks about what that means. But somewhere in there, we forgot about the actual meaning and the practice. It's not just this high, spooky spiritual part. There is also the necessity for people to be able to be bilingual, trilingual, quadlingual, and to be able to what? Interpret said stuff. All right, now I gave you the two extremes. Let me help y'all out, all of us that speak English and no other language. You still need people to interpret between English-speaking folk, because we don't all speak the same language. You need somebody around that's able to talk between generations, that's able to decipher between what's going on in the head of a 15-year-old and in the head of a 50-year-old. And what you'll discover is, and guess what? This is about to blow your mind, and you ought to be able to shout out of here, and we should be able to shout together. The reality is, when you get an interpreter in between the 15-year-old and the 50-year-old, you find out you're both in the same place. The 50-year-old's frustrated about the 15-year-old because in their mind, they trying to make sure that the 15-year-old understands what they only learned recently. Yes, I said it. Some of y'all only got to a certain place in your faith just recently. You here now and act like you've been here for a long time. No. And you want the 15-year-old who's still learning to be where you are, and the 15-year-old looking at you crazy because they got good enough sense to know that you are crazy for thinking that. But when you get someone that can interpret the situation, they're able to tell you that what you think you see isn't what it is. Because when you begin to listen and you begin to pay attention, you begin to focus, you begin to get some revelation on what's happening in a situation, you're able to tell somebody, don't jump off the deep end yet, because what they're dealing with right now is something that you might not have ever had to deal with at that stage. And you got to remember that when you were at that stage, you may not have had to deal with it and you didn't have the tools to deal with it. But now that you are further down the road, you got the gift to be able to help them if you only listen. You hear that, Fred? Total silence. Because we don't always know how to ask for that gift to step up. We don't know how to ask people that may actually know what's happening how to intercede and interpret the situation. Because we don't have the gift, we're mad that others have it. I should be the one. No, it may not be you. Okay. I'll finish with this because I think I've gotten on enough nerves today. My son comes to Bible study with me pretty much every week. And there's a lot of things I can teach my son. A lot. Everybody like, well, you've gone to school, you've done this, you've done that. You can teach your son anything. You're right. I can teach him anything. But by the time I finish doing homework with my son, and by the time I go through the normal motions of being his daddy, because I ain't his pastor. All right. I ain't his pastor. He don't call me pastor. He call me daddy. We come to Bible study. And my son comes up to me every week and tells me about how his teacher taught him so much. And you know what I do? I smile huge because there are things that I can tell my son. And my son calls me his hero and wants to be like his daddy. But there are some things that other people have to instill in him. Now, if I know that about my own child, you need to stop being whatever about your own situation, because this is still a village. And if you lack something, you really don't lack it, because in the village, you got access. Let me wrap it up. Here in the village, you got access to anything that you need. You just got to be able to what? Call for it. Don't worry if you think you lack a thing, you got something. Use what you have and know that God has positioned you to be around somebody that can what? Use what they have and enhance your village. Otherwise, you will suffer alone. And God never wanted any of us to suffer alone. If we're going to grow, you need information and understanding. You need to have the desire for signs and wonders. You need prophetic speech. But you need somebody that knows what's being said. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.